You know how we were talking about origins of certain Christmas things, Esmeralda?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about this? Do you enjoy the fruit cake?
I mean, it's cake.
Is it really?
And it's fruit.
Is it really?
But usually I've seen it just doesn't look appetizing.
Is it really either of those things?
I mean, it looks like a pound cake. But then you slice and you're like, oof, this looks gross.
Here's the thing. There are two kinds of fruit cake. There are the terrible fruit cakes that people, I don't know, do they still send fruit cake in the mail and stuff? Is that a thing still?
I mean, people like me, so no one has sent me fruit cakes.
Dan, do you know if that's like a thing? Do people 312-981-7. We're going to talk about the origin of the fruit cake and some other Christmas origins. 312-981-7200. Talk and text, and you can also check us out on Facebook. Is that a thing?
You know, I haven't seen it anytime recently. I know Cochran had that bit where he would like send the fruit cake.
The fruit cake that gets sent around
like to a bunch of listeners.
Right?
But, yeah, I haven't seen a fruit cake delivery in quite a while.
It's been a long time. But there are two different kinds of fruit cake. There's that horrible fruit cake that is the, you know, the generic, cliched fruit cake that everybody thinks of, which is like as solid as a brick. And we consider fruit cake like the head cheese of pastry. Do you know what I mean? you know what I mean, Esmeralda? You get like a log of head cheese. Have you ever had head cheese?
I have. Well, no, but I've seen it. My dad likes it. So.
Yeah, of course he does. Your dad rules, man. But head cheese, you look at head cheese, you go, oh, man. And it's like all the scraps and all the crap left over.
Right.
You know, from the cow or whatever animal it is. And they kind of they gelatin it together. And then you slice it like bologna.
Mm-hmm.
And it's head cheese. To me, fruitcake is the head cheese of pastry. Or at least the fruitcake that gets sent through the mail, the hard brick paperweight fruitcake that you can't eat. Now, that's the first, when I think fruitcake, that's the first kind of fruitcake that pops into my head is the horrible, through the mail, brick, terrible, is that even edible fruitcake? But there is also the fruitcake that is homemade that people make every year and like soak in rum. I can't eat it anymore. But that kind of like homemade, soft, rum soaked fruitcake, that's good stuff. You ever have that kind, Esmeralda? Like somebody makes it and it's like really, really moist and wet and soaked in rum?
No. No, I haven't.
Oh, it's good.
By the way, I thought I heard someone say this joke. We like wet foods here in the Midwest. It's like beefs, soaked fruitcakes.
That would be 4:15 a.m. for your out of context. That could be out of context doesn't come back till the new year.
I don't even think about it anymore.
Straight out of context doesn't come back till the new year, but you can still contribute. We like wet foods. Yeah, but no, that's what I'm talking about. So like the cliched, horrible mail order, hard as a rock, that is not something I would ever eat fruitcake. That's the fruitcake that most people think of. But I make a good fruitcake with real fruit. It's freshly baked and it's completely soaked in rum. That's a good fruitcake.
I mean, even if you don't soak it in the rum, I'm sure it's delicious.
Yeah, but the rum is important.
All right.
It is. I mean, not to me. I can't eat it anymore. I mean, that kind of stuff is out the window.
How about just syrup?
Yeah, I mean, I'll eat it with syrup.
Can we soak it in syrup?
We can soak it in something.
I'm going to say syrup. You know what you could do?
Mm.
You could do a syrup with rum extract.
With rum extract?
Yeah, because that's not real rum.
Mm. So like a rum taste.
Yeah.
Like an extract of rum that's non-alcoholic.
Exactly.
Then I can eat it.
Like rum, you know, like rum raisin ice cream. That doesn't really have rum.
No, it doesn't really have. Does it? It doesn't
no,
have rum?
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
No, I don't think Baskin Robbins can sell rum.
Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors. You got to be 21 to get them.
Yeah.
All right, we have to break here, and then I'll come back, and I'll give you the origin of the fruitcake. And if you want to jump in here with your fruitcake stories, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer,
yeah,
used to laugh and call him names.
That's right.
They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer.
Those reindeer were
like
jerks.
Monopoly.
Yeah, like Monopoly.
Do you
that's
know?
It. Yeah.
You have the add-ons.
Yep. Santa came to say, Al Martino, man. The great Al Martino. Yeah, he's Italian. Hey, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Leading up to Christmas. It's Christmas week. Steve Cochran is off this morning, but he will be in tomorrow through Christmas Eve morning. We've got some fun shows lined up, but tomorrow morning we'll do a bunch of Christmas stuff as well as have some live music in studio with a very cool band. Wednesday morning, more Christmassy stuff. And Tom Appel will join us to talk cars and any automotive questions that you have. He'll answer them. And then on Thursday is our Christmas Eve show. Lots of Christmas stuff that morning, including a great visit from Rick Geezer, who will do his annual Christmas sports songs visit. And we will hear some great Christmassy sports songs, including the greatest Christmas song of all time, Honky the Christmas Goose. Now, Esmeralda, have you ever heard Honky the Christmas Goose?
I haven't.
Oh, you are in for a thrill.
Oh, boy.
The greatest song ever. Now, when Rick comes in to visit during sports songs, he brings in all his songs. Sports songs are these songs that are recorded by athletes and managers. Super Bowl Shuffle, but there's a ton more out there by different kinds of sports people for years. So he collects those. And then every Christmas he comes in and we play little bits of songs here and there. But we always play in its entirety the greatest song ever for Christmas, Honky the Christmas Goose. Prepare yourself, Esmeralda.
I can't wait.
The great Johnny Bauer from the Maple Leafs, Toronto Maple Leafs, recorded that song, Honky the Christmas Goose. It is fantastic. Dan, testify to Esmeralda how great Honky the Christmas Goose is.
The term life-changing is thrown around way too much, but applicable here.
See?
Oh, boy.
See?
All right.
Your life is going to change Thursday morning.
Right before my ears.
Right before your ears, your life will change once you hear Honky the Christmas Goose.
You will never look at a goose the same way again.
I probably won't.
Or a honky.
Okay.
All right. We're talking fruitcakes and the origin of fruitcake. If you have any fruitcake stories, got some texts coming in. Barb says, my grandma used to make fruitcake. She would make it in the summer and then pour rum over it every month until Christmas. Oh, my God. I swear the whole house smelled like booze when she pulled it out to eat. See, that's what I'm talking about. Letting it soak in rum for 4 months? That's unbelievable. 815 area code says that you can order fruitcake from Swiss Colony. Yes, I know. I'm aware of that. But that's the kind of fruitcake. That's the bad reputation, terrible head cheese fruitcake. And I got the origin of fruitcake here. Here's Esther on WGN. Hey, Esther.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
All right.
Well, the Italians have something called panettone.
Oh, yeah.
And they have fruit in that, but not as condensed as some of the fruit cakes that Americans make.
Yep.
And then the Swedish have something called solen that has a lot of fruit in it as well, but it's heavier than not as heavy as American fruit cake. But now all the fruit that goes into the fruit cake has become so expensive that a lot of people don't make it anymore because it's actually cheaper to buy it than it is to make.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. Because, you know, the best fruitcakes are the ones that you do make, not the terrible ones that you end up. You know what I'm talking about, those mail order fruitcakes. Those things are terrible.
No, those are terrible. They are. Yeah. I wouldn't give it to my worst enemy.
Now, Esther, do you make fruitcake?
I make a fruitcake with very light. It's not as condensed, and I don't liquor it up a lot because the kids seem to like it.
Right. So, you don't liquor it up a lot because kids seem to like it. Okay.
Right.
All right, Esther. Thank you for the call. Have a great holiday, all right?
Okay. Merry Christmas.
All right. Merry Christmas to you, too. 312-981-7200. Fruitcake. Are you ready for the origin of fruitcake, Esmeralda? Have you ever made? Now, I know you cook. You bake. You're quite talented in the kitchenal area.
Yes, thank you.
Have you ever made a fruit cake?
No.
You know, you should look up a fruit cake recipe.
I should bring one in.
And try to bring one in Thursday morning, but make half of it with rum and half without so I can have some.
Well, I can always, I'm sure they're not all rum soaked.
Okay.
I'm just going to, probably is good ones that don't need rum.
Yeah. I really don't need a slice of cake to knock me off the wagon. That's would be the last. How did you fall off the wagon, DiGilio? Well, Esmeralda brought in some fruitcake.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to eat it either. I don't need to be all sauced up on the air. None of us do.
No. All right, you ready? Fruitcakes are just cakes. Oh, well, thank you. They're just cakes with candied or dried fruits, nuts, and spices. The modern version of the much maligned dish were likely whipped up in the Middle Ages when dried fruits and nuts were really expensive because the price of ingredients at the time and effort that went into making the dessert, it's assumed that December festivities were felt to be the most worthy of the time and hassle. So the Middle Ages is when it started. And I think there are actually a few fruitcakes out there right now that are still from the Middle Ages. Because that's one of those things, you've heard the stories of, like, somebody will send you a fruitcake in the mail for Christmas. Like, oh, here, Merry Christmas, here's this brick. Enjoy this unedible brick. And then you go, that's fantastic, and then you re-gift it. That's probably the most re-gift. I would imagine, see if you agree with me on this one, Esmeralda, that maybe the original re-gifted gift is a fruitcake. Because people never ate them.
That's so mean, though.
What?
Well, just think, like, oh, this disgusting fruitcake. Let me just gift it to somebody
else. Oh, but that's what happens.
How awful.
Fruitcakes just go from house to house to house to house to house for years.
Ugh.
And then you get it, you look at it, and you go, oh, thanks a lot. And it becomes a joke. It's like, oh, my idiot brother sent me the fruitcake, so I'm just going to have to send it to my idiot cousin. And then the idiot cousin gets it and goes, oh, my idiot cousin sent me this fruitcake. I'm going to go send it to my wife's uncle. You know what I mean? And so on and so on and so forth.
I just feel bad for the person who goes, ooh, I want to eat it.
Yeah, I want to eat it.
Oh, no.
I want to eat it. I want to eat this fruitcake. And then they can't put a knife through it because it's been going through the mail for 17 years. No amount of rum is going to help that out. All right. Fruitcakes and other holiday origins is what we're talking about here. We got a break for the news, and then we'll come back. 312-981-7200. My dad tells a joke in a little bit, and we have a Blackhawks Express recapping last night's very exciting game. All on 720 WGN. It. Hip sounding Christmas music right here. Nick DiGilio here, 720 WGN. Merry Christmas, everybody. We are leading up to Christmas Day this week. Friday is Christmas. Right now we're talking about some Christmas traditions on the Nick DiGilio Overnight Show. And, by the way, in just a few minutes, my dad will call in for his last joke of 2015 before we start our new year of 2016 jokes. He will call in and tell a jokey time. And we will recap last night's very exciting Blackhawks game. We've got a Blackhawks Express coming up. But right now we're talking about fruitcakes and other things holiday-related and their origins. Let's see. Jay sends in a texty time and says, Jane Bodie, come on, Bodie. You got to go down, man. People trusted you and they died, man. It's from Point Break.
Oh.
You know that damn remake is coming out next this Friday.
Yeah, and you're going to rip up theater seats, right?
It's not safe to be in the same theater with me when they show it. I will warn everyone what theater I'm going to and at what showtime. So yeah.
Will you at least yell out something and then start ripping up seats?
I think that they should just put me in the theater alone.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the best thing.
Maybe one that they're going to renovate.
Yeah.
Then you're helping them out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If there are any theaters out there that are thinking of destroying one of their theaters and renovating, just let me have it for one showing of Point Break, and I'll just do all the destruction for you. Because I have no doubt in my mind that I'm going to want to rip seats out and bust everything in the room while I'm watching the most unnecessary remake ever of Point Break. You got to go down, Bodie. I am an FBI agent. I know, man. Isn't it wild? I adore that movie. It's sick how much I love that movie. Anyway, Jane Bodie of Bodie Bakery, man, in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, makes a great fruitcake. I also know she's a big fan of your show. She'll probably be listening to you right now as she gets the bakery ready to open. Oh, well, thank you, Jane Bodie. Of Bodie Bakery. Nick, the best edible fruitcake comes from the Claxton Fruitcake Company. We discovered them while we were on a road trip through Georgia on our way to Florida. You should try them. They're awesome. Just search Claxton Fruitcake. C-L-A-X-T-O-N. Claxton Fruitcake. Hey, isn't Claxton Fruitcake the producer of the Shadow Bags morning show? Dan, isn't that Claxton Fruitcake? Isn't he the...
That is true.
He just got hired as the new producer of the Shadow Bags Morning Zoo Spectacular.
Right.
Claxton Fruitcake. Yeah, Claxton Fruitcake is our producer this morning. Yeah!
Right out of college, because nobody would take the job for what they're paying.
Yeah. So he's working on with no money at all.
Yeah,
man, your Claxton Fruitcake just works for Jell-O shots. They got plenty of Jell-O shots on the Morning Zoo show. By the way, for those of you who don't know that this studio, I'm the only one on WGN that uses this studio. So right after I'm done at 5 o'clock, the Morning Zoo show of Shadow Bags and Foot Cheese, produced by Claxton Fruitcake, they come in and they do a Morning Zoo show that nobody hears because nobody uses this studio. So they come in, they take it over. We lock them in Johnny B's old studio all week long.
Is that where they live?
They live in Johnny B's studio.
Okay.
In Johnny B's old studio, right there, right next to us.
Wow.
We lock them in, and then we open up the door at 5 o'clock. They come in to do their Morning Zoo show till 10, and then they're locked back in there until the following morning at 5.
We really take that Morning Zoo bit seriously.
It's very serious.
Since we lock them up, and then we throw them in here and lock the door.
That's right. And then they go in there, and they just do show prep from 10 a.m. till 5 a.m. the next morning.
Wow.
And
it'd be a really great show that
no
one hears.
No one hears it. It's on www, 192.6, I believe, on your FM dial.
Okay.
And it's just spectacular. It's the greatest Morning Zoo show of all time.
Wow.
With Hot Undergarment. She's your
right.
hottie.
Right.
Foot Cheese.
Yep.
Olive Loaf.
Mm-hmm.
Omelette Head.
Yes.
Yeah. Produced by Claxton Fruitcake.
Oh boy!
How about this? Does your list about herring? Does it include pickled herring for New Year's? It does not. The list does not. But I enjoy pickled herring. For New Year's, you ever have the pickle? You ever have pickled or creamed herring?
I have not. Does it have bones?
Not the stuff that comes in jars.
So it's just fillets.
They're almost like little sardine-y kind of things.
Okay, I've never had a sardine, like a whole one.
Yeah, I mean.
Probably eaten it.
The herring that I'm talking about, it just comes. You can get it at the grocery store. It comes in jars, and it's little like little pieces of herring, and you can either have it in a cream kind of sauce or a pickled vinegary sauce.
I'm not the biggest fan of seafood,
but it's good though, and it's supposed to be good luck according to the Swedish traditions.
Right.
At midnight on New Year's, you're supposed to eat herring, and then it's supposed to give you wealth and good luck and health throughout the year.
So. Do you like mackerel?
No, not really.
Maybe I'll try it.
I don't know. I mean, I really like it, but I, you know.
You eat, like, olive loaf and
I do eat. Hey, don't, olive loaf might get scared. He's in the other room getting ready. He's prepping for the Shadow Bags Morning Zoo, produced by Claxton Fruitcake.
Right.
See, Paul is on WGN. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Down around Bardstown, Kentucky, in the Kentucky bourbon country.
Yeah.
The Jim Beam Distillery is outside of Bardstown, and there's also a Catholic monastery down there, Our Lady of Gethsemane, and they support themselves by making fudge and fruitcakes, and they infuse it with the Jim Beam from down the street.
It is
incredibly good.
By the way, I just want to mention that the phone is ringing in here, by the way, guys. so we can hear the phone ringing in here.
Oh, that was weird.
So, that was weird.
Is that the bat phone?
Yeah, that's the bat phone. That's the bat phone. All right, Paul, rum cake talk. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Just Google Abbey at Gethsemane, and it'll come up.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you, Paul.
Great, thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You ever wonder about the origin of candy canes?
Yes.
That's a good response. The correct,
curious.
By the way, the correct response to keep the show going.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. You've been to improv class.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Got a candy cane stuck in
it? Got a candy cane jammed right into my esophagi. They didn't always have their stripes. That's what it says right here. According to legend, the original candy cane, which was made some 350 years ago, I bet that's nice and stale right now, was an all-white sugar stick that was completely straight. That sounds fun.
Although I've seen just sticks.
Well, what do you mean? Like the sugar cane stick? Well, that's not white. But
it had the stripes, but it was a stick.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. In 1670, a choir master at a German cathedral bent the sticks to represent a shepherd's staff. The canes were given out to children during a nativity scene. The cane arrived in America sometime during the 19th century, and around that time, the refining process for sugar had gotten to the point where it could be pure white, and the development of better food dyes could create a strong red for the stripe. Well, you see that?
Well, look at that.
So some dude, a choir master dude, in some German cathedral went, "Let's bend the stick." Thus the candy cane. Okay. Now, candy cane, it says it's just all sugary, but candy canes are minty. Aren't most of them minty?
Yeah, but minty? That's not, I mean, it's a flavor, but
I know.
Sugar.
But like sugary, I know it's still all sugar. Yeah. I realize that it's candy cane. It's not like it's mint leaves that you're actually eating. So candy canes, I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world because Captain Choirmaster there. He bent his stick. Once again, Straight Out of Context comes back for the new year.
It's
going to come back stronger than ever. Listen 24/7. Whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty, send all the info to nickdshow@gmail.com. And we'll be doing that in the new year. All right. You know what else we're going to be talking about in the coming days?
What's that?
Here are some origin stories. You ready?
Mm.
We can prepare for them. Eggnog.
Oh.
Green bean casserole.
Hey.
Stuffing or
what?
Dressing. And figgy pudding.
Oh.
They're fantastic reactions.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's really...
I practice on those after the show.
You say, lesbian. That is from this sketch from Saturday Night Live this weekend, which was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And I did watch the other one. It was with Chris Hemsworth and Kate McKinnon.
There you go.
Not as funny as the one from this past weekend.
Okay. All right.